Alrighty, well, this afternoon I want to continue the series that we began about 5 weeks ago called The Armor of God. How many here have ever heard of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6? Alright, the armor of God. And you know, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God the Creator of heaven and earth became God our Father. And God's intention for us is good. Jesus has our best interests in mind. When Jesus left this earth, He left us the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, our comforter, our exhorter. So we serve a good God, right? Amen. But at the same time, we battle against a realm of evil. And it's not a flesh and blood fight. It's not like one nation of flesh and blood fighting another nation of flesh and blood. In our walk with God, we are in a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. You know, it's the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. And to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves in this spiritual battle, what do we have to do? We've got to arm ourselves with the spiritual armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, last week we talked about the piece of armor called the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And I believe that Paul was referring back to a certain shield that the Roman armies used. And this shield was about 2.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall. It was a big old shield. It just about covered the entire human body. See, the Roman soldiers had to defend themselves against the enemy. What the enemy would do is that the enemy would take arrows, right? They would wrap the tip of arrows in the cloth. They would dip it in pitch. They would light it. And they would shoot that arrow. Upon impact, not only would it pierce or puncture the soldier, but the flame would basically catch on fire the soldier's clothing. So not only was he punctured, but he would be burned. So how did the Roman soldier protect himself against these flaming arrows?
Breastplate of armor.
With the shield that we just talked about. This shield generally was made of wood, about 2x4. It was sometimes covered in leather dipped in water or with metal. So when that flaming arrow hit that leather, it would extinguish. Does that make sense? So the enemy shoots an arrow, a flaming arrow. The soldier puts up a shield and that arrow is extinguished. What kind of picture is Paul trying to paint for us? As believers. Spiritually, he's saying this. He's saying that the enemy would try to throw flaming arrows at us. And we've got to put up what's called the shield of faith to protect ourselves spiritually. Now, what flaming arrows is Paul the Apostle talking about in Ephesians 6? What is he talking about in Ephesians 6? What kind of flaming arrows do you think Paul the Apostle is referring to? Ephesians 6:16. He's talking about the flaming arrows of doubt and unbelief. He's talking about the flaming arrows of doubting God. And you know what, friends? It's an age-old temptation. Remember, God told Adam and Eve. He told Adam what? He said, Adam, I'm putting you in this beautiful garden. You can eat of any tree. But the tree I don't want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so who comes along in Genesis 3? Satan. And he tempts the woman with doubt. He says in Genesis 3:1, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? She said, yes, he did. God said, you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, because in the day that I eat of it, I will surely die. Verse 4, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What was the enemy doing? He was sowing seeds of doubt, doubting the integrity of God. He was trying to make God out to be dishonest to the woman, right? Sowing seeds of doubt in the mind of Eve. And he still does it today. Those are his flaming arrows. You see, the enemy would want you to doubt the very existence of God. You may be going through some tough times in your life. Maybe a loss of a relationship, loss of a job, loss of something that was dear to you. And the enemy would whisper in your ear, do you really think there's a God out there? You got to respond, yes, there is a God out there. Because when I look at the beauty of nature, the trees and the grass and the skies and the complexity of the human body, it shows me that there is a greater cause behind this nature. And that greater cause is God.
Amen.
When he throws that arrow of trying to disprove the existence of God to you, you say, no. I look at the beauty of creation, and that tells me there is a God. The enemy would try to throw the flaming arrow of you doubting God's goodness. He might try to whisper in your ear that the bad thing that happened to you is God's fault. God did it to you. He's a liar and the father of lies. When he lies like that to you, when he throws that flaming arrow at you, what do? You put up your shield of faith. How do you put up your shield of faith?
Believe.
By quoting the Word. Satan. The Word of God says in James 1, 16 and 17 that every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is the author of good. The bad thing that happened to me is not God's fault. He's a good God. He's the author of good. He's got good things in store for me. So what you do is you quote the Word. That's how you put up your shield of faith. You quote the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the Word of God. What's another flaming arrow that he would throw at you? The flaming arrow of doubting the promises in God's Word. You'll always be sick. You'll never be healed. You tell him no. The Word of God says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus took the wounds upon his back so that I am healed. You'll never have enough money. You'll always be poor. You're a liar, Satan. The Word of God says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply for all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And as you quote the Word to him like that, you're putting up your shield of faith. And the one thing he hates is the Word of God. He flees when the Word of God is proclaimed. Amen? That's how you put up your shield of faith. Today, we're going to talk about the fifth piece of spiritual armor called the helmet of salvation. Let's read it in Ephesians 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, think about it. How many here watch football?
Everybody.
All right. How many have ever played football? In football, you're susceptible to what?
Damage.
Okay, damage. Head injuries. How do you protect your head when playing football?
Neck brace.
You put on a football helmet. Exactly. There you go. Driving a motorcycle. And I know that this state doesn't require motorcycle riders to wear helmets, but when you're riding a motorcycle, you are vulnerable to getting hurt. If you fall off that bike, God forbid, you can injure your head. So a wise motorcycle driver does what? He uses a motorcycle helmet, right? To do what?
To protect his head.
Now in the tree trimming industry, tree trimmers, they're trimming trees, limbs are falling, you know, different debris is falling off the trees, and you know, the head is vulnerable to injury when you're doing tree trimming work. So one of the things you could do to protect your head is do what? Is to do what? Wear a hard hat, exactly, to protect the head. You got it, brother. Let's talk about the Roman soldier, how he protected his head in Paul's time. The Roman soldier always entered battle with a helmet. And some of these helmets were made of thick leather, covered with metal plates, and some were of heavy molded or beaten metal. And these helmets had cheek pieces to protect the face. And the cavalry would come with 3 to 4 foot long, double-edged sword, swinging at the heads of the Roman soldiers. The surest way that the Roman soldiers could protect their heads was with what? This helmet made of leather and covered with metal. You see, physical helmets protect physical heads. What's Paul trying to say? He's trying to paint the spiritual picture of this. He is saying we must wear the spiritual helmet of salvation to protect our minds against the enemy's attacks. The enemy is going to try to do some sword swinging at our minds.
These are some spiritual gear we can use to stay protected, just like this physical gear.
You got it. The enemy, let me say it again, is going to try to do some sword swinging at our minds. He would try to swing the sword of wrong thoughts at us in order to put a wedge between us and our Savior Jesus Christ. But we need to put on the helmet of salvation to protect our minds from these wrong thoughts. What's the enemy trying to do? How is he trying to attack you in this area? He's trying to attack your spiritual salvation. He would try to sow wrong thoughts into your mind to rob you of your eternal salvation. But you can protect yourself, right? And how do you do that? By putting on the what? Helmet. Helmet of salvation. Now, what are some of the wrong thoughts he would try to swing at our minds? And how do we put on the helmet of salvation? So I want to talk for the next few minutes about some of the wrong things he would try to put in up here and how we take our helmet of salvation and put it on our minds. Okay. He would try to tell you, as I just mentioned a little earlier, that the bad thing that happened to you is God's fault. How many here have gone through some really tough times? Maybe through some really tough times recently. You know, it's in a time where we're depressed and down and weak that the enemy tries to whisper into our spiritual ears. What's he trying to do? Well, you lost a job. You lost a relationship. You lost money. You lost a career. You lost an education. You're stuck here in a homeless shelter. God did it to you. Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. What's he trying to do when he whispers those thoughts at your mind?
So doubt.
He's trying to get you to doubt the goodness of God and of Jesus Christ. You know, if he can get you to doubt the goodness of Christ, he can get you to doubt whether you really want to follow him wholeheartedly. Because we want to follow a good God, right? But if he can sow seeds into your mind that God was at fault, he can make you doubt whether you even really want to follow Christ. What is he trying to do? He's trying to steal your salvation. Trying to put a wedge, a blockage between you and Jesus. So how do you put on the helmet of salvation to protect your mind from those wrong thoughts?
You can cast those thoughts out of your mind.
You can do that. That's good. You quote the Word of God, like we said earlier. Romans 12:2. Paul writes, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind is gradual. It happens over a process of time. Doesn't happen instantaneously. So how do you go about renewing your mind?
Read the Word of God.
Read the Word of God. But not just reading the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God. Thinking about what you read, which is called meditating on the Word of God. Like the cow chews its cud. And chews it and chews it and chews it. You got to chew on the Word of God that you read. That's how you renew your mind and make it more like God. Is by getting the Word into you. Now, how many here know that the books we read, condition our thoughts? The newspapers you read condition your thoughts.
Anything you put in.
That's it. It influences the way you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and allow it, this Word, the Bible, to condition, to influence your mind and the way you think. Is that making sense? So when the enemy tries to tell you that God is at fault, that Christ is at fault for the bad thing that happened to you, you say, no, my mind is being renewed because I study the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Matthew 7:11, Jesus said it, if you then be are evil fathers, sinful fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? So you just quote the Word. No way, Satan. God didn't do it. God is the giver of good gifts according to James 1, 16 and 17. Quote Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Quote Hebrews 1:3, that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. So that if Jesus went about doing good when he walked on this earth, that means that God the Father does good. That his will for you is good. Amen? So if you've got all this word on the inside of you, when the enemy tries to put some doubt in your mind to rob your salvation concerning God's goodness, you just quote the word. Remember when he tempted Jesus in Matthew 4? Three times? What did Jesus do?
Spoke the word.
Three times from Deuteronomy. And it says in Matthew 4:11 that the devil left him. So when he tries to attack your mind, put on the helmet of salvation. How do you put on the helmet of salvation?
Read the word,
study the word, and speak the word. You got it, brother. All right. Another way that the enemy would try to do some sword swinging at our thoughts is this. He would try to tell you, you know what? This life is it. You live 80 or 90 years on this earth and it may be tough. You die and you're finished. He would try to lie to you when you're depressed. That this life is it. He'll try to do it sometimes. That this life is it. But you tell him no. Absolutely not. This life is temporary. This life is only the beginning of the life which lasts forever. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. When he says that to you, quote 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation as a helmet. So when he tries to whisper to you that this life here on earth is it, you say, no, this is not it. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my eternal life began here on earth and it will continue forever when I get to heaven one day. I have that hope of salvation on the inside. Again, you quote the word from 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Convince yourself of it by reading the Word of God that you've got to put on salvation as a helmet. The hope of salvation. As a helmet. You know, think about it. If he tries to convince you that this life is it, then the next logical thought is, then why do I need to follow any God? Why do I need to follow Christ? He's trying to separate you from Christ. He's trying to separate you from following Christ wholeheartedly. So when he says that to you, you say, no. Say it with me. This life is not it.
This life is not it.
I have on the hope of salvation. As a helmet. Eternal life will continue when I go to heaven. The Word of God says it. Amen. Amen. Another way that the enemy would try to do some sword swinging at your thoughts is this. By trying to speak into you false doctrine. He would try to swing the sword of false thoughts into your mind or at your mind by using false doctrine, by trying to speak false doctrine into you, by trying to convince you of false doctrine. And there's an age-old false doctrine called universalism. And this is the way it goes. It began in the early church. It says that every single person on the face of this earth will be saved and will go to heaven one day. That's a wrong thought. And there was actually a minister here in Tulsa, and I won't mention names, who within the last couple of years was promoting this false doctrine that everybody will be saved. What is he trying to do?
Create false hope.
He is trying to convince people that they don't have to have faith in Christ to be saved. And that leads to another thought called pluralism, that there's many roads to God. So he would try to swing the sword of false doctrine at your mind. But when he does that, what do you do? How do you put on your helmet of salvation?
Read the word.
That's it. Read the word, study the word, and speak the word. And say, no way, Satan. There is no way that every person on the face of this earth is going to be saved except through Christ. There are not many roads to God. There is one road to God, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said it in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He is the only way to God. Amen? So that right there, when you're convinced on the inside through the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the only way, then that kind of motivates you to develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. What motivation is there to develop any relationship with Christ if there's many ways to God? Does that make sense logically? But if on the inside you're convinced by the Word of God that Jesus is the only way of God, then you're motivated to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you can quote Acts chapter 4, where Peter was speaking to the Jewish leaders. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is only salvation in one name, and that name is the name and the person of Jesus Christ. And as you quote these scriptures, John 14:6, Acts 4:12, you're putting on the helmet of salvation. You're saying, Satan, you know what? You're a liar and the father of lies. You are not going to try to rob me of my eternal salvation in Christ with your wrong thoughts. It ain't going to work with me because my mind is influenced. My mind is conditioned by the greatest book that I read, the Word of the Living God. Plain and simple. That's how you put on your helmet of salvation. Is by knowing this word, studying it, and speaking it like this brother said. You got another word, and just study the Word of God. It talks about God's goodness from beginning, from Genesis to Revelation. Matthew 7:11, James 1:16-17, Acts 10:38.
That, a lot of it's real interesting too.
It's in there.
Just in general.
That's it. He's not going to rob our salvation, right? We're going to be committed to Christ and to Christ alone till the day of our death. Amen?
Amen?
See, there's an antichrist spirit in the world right now. It means it's against Christ. Universalism, saying that everybody will be saved. Pluralism, many roads to God. Basically, that's an antichrist spirit. Promoting people to teach those false doctrines. Because there's only one Christ, Jesus Christ, one way, and it's Jesus. The only way to God, the only way to heaven. He's not going to rob our salvation. Amen? Amen? Say it with me today. Say, Satan, you ain't going to rob my salvation. Because I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. By reading the Word of God, meditating on it, and speaking it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys.